second Perek in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is going through the various halachas of Melech, the dinim of Melech. First we have a little bit dinim of Kengoro, and then we have the dinim of the Melech. So on, let me just start with this. On the Chof on the days, the Gemara discusses Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom, and the Gemara alludes to the fact that there was a period of time that he lost his whole Malchus. Rashi tells you to look in Gittin, Dab Samaches on the days, where the Gemara has a whole Agarte, that Ashmedai kicked him out of the Malchus. And then the Gemara has two versions, whether he was reinstated later, he was not reinstated later. The Gemara has the last, that fourth, Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom, and the Gemara alludes to the fact that there was a period of time that he lost his whole Malchus. Rashi tells you to look in Gittin, Dab Samaches on the days, where the Gemara has a whole Agarte, that Ashmedai kicked him out of the Malchus. And then the Gemara has two versions, whether he was reinstated later, he was not reinstated later. The Gemara has the last, about four or five lines from the bottom. So one says he was a Melech, a Hedyot, a Melech, and one says he was a Melech, a Hedyot, and he was never a Melech again. He lost his throne and he never was again. So he gives a krech, Shlomo HaMelech gives a krech to Sefer Kehelos, and he says, Zeh chelki mikol amor. Apparently, Zeh, he's referring to something, like it says, Achodesh Azalachem, or Azalachem Atomi, so the Chazal on the same, whatever it says in Tanakh Zeh, you're pointing to something. So he says, Zeh Chalk in the Kolamol, he says, from the whole kingdom, from everything that I did, this is the only thing that I'm left with. So the Gemara sounds as if he's saying that he lost his whole kingdom, and he was reciting that pasuk at the time that he lost everything. So the Gemara has two opinions of Amoraim. Rabbi Shmuel had a dispute, six lines from the bottom of that Chof on the base. Rabbi Shmuel had two suggestions. What was he pointing to? So one says, Charam HaMakla v'Charam HaGundoy. One says that he was pointing to his shtekl, to his cane, his walking cane. And one says he was pointing to Gundo. Rashi quotes that Gundo, he quotes Rav Haigoin, the second line from the bottom. Says Rav Haigoin has the Pirush on Mishnah's Kalim. He says that the word Gundo means a cup. So what are these two things that he's pointing to? What is he pointing to the shtek? What is he pointing to the cup? So some Achronim suggest that Taich and the Gemara, based on the Agarta and the second Perek in Erevin, that the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech made two takonas. He made one takona Netilas Yadam and one takona Erevin. So the one says, from everything that I did in my whole life, I lost everything, the only thing is left is the cup to wash until the Siddai. That takana, that's he's going to go to Olam Haba because of that takana. And the other opinion is, is the maklo, the stick that was, that if you have three mechitzas enclosing an area, some in Atara you're permitted to carry, if you have a U-shaped mechitzas. But midrabanan, you have to have a tikkun on the roof of these. You have to put, if it's a mavui, it can either be a mavui or a chutzel or a bayis. If it's a mavi, so there's a special kula that if you put a lehi, a pole on one side, it's good enough. If it's not a mavi, then you have to have a tzuras ha-pesach. And our minhag is that we always require a tzuras ha-pesach. Tzuras ha-pesach, the Gemara gives a definition. What is a tzuras ha-pesach? It's a kan and mikan, a kan and mikan. The kan on that, there are two poles on either side and one pole on top, like the frame of a door. It has to be similar, it has to be sturdy like a frame of a door. Sturdy enough to hold the door that would close the empty space. But if it's not a chotzer, if it's a mavoi, then it's good enough with one leg, one pole on one side, even though you don't have the other pole, you don't have the pole on top, it doesn't look at all, it doesn't correspond to a tzuras ha-pesach. So some Achronim say that these are the two opinions of the Amoraim, that he's singling out the major takana of the two takanas that he made during his lifetime, he's singling out the one that he felt was the most important, either the takana of the Tibos Yadayim Gundo, the way the Rashi quotes from Rav Haigoin, that it's a Makita Shal Cheres, a little earthenware cup that he used to wash in Tilas Yadayim. Either he felt that was his major accomplishment in life, that he made that Takonas in Tilas Yadayim, or he's referring to the Takonas Erevin, that you have to make a tikkun on the rope of these. I just don't remember, have to look in the Gemara's Erevin. I didn't think that was correct. My recollection was, just Pasha had no time to check it out. I thought the Gemara said in Erevin that the Takonas Shlema of Erevin was that you have to put away the box of matzahs. There it means that you need a box of matzahs. But the tikkun on the roof of these, I don't remember. The Gemara said that if you have three walls, that you have to put something on the fourth wall. I don't remember. The Gemara says that was Shlomo HaMelech's takana. Got to take a look. It's the beginning of the second Perek in Erevin. Anyway, that was on that puff on the day. In the middle of the whole Agadatha, so we skipped that's a famous line, that kind. Last week we were learning already on Chof Aleph on the day. So we're speaking about the special dinim that the Melech has. The Melech has a din le'yavol anoshim. You're not allowed to have more than 18 wives. Or le'yavol asusim. You're not allowed to purchase too many horses. He's only committed to purchase as much as he needs. Not only the bare minimum. The Mar says he's allowed to have extra also, a little bit extra. Whatever is reasonably necessary to run a government. You can't have an army without a couple of extra horses. And Kesem Zod le'yavol anoshim. He's not allowed to have too much wealth. He has to have enough money to run the country, but more than that is not allowed to have. So these are the three Layabalo, Layabalo Nashim, Layabalo Susim, Kesem Zod, Layabalo Miyod. And then these are the three Lavin, the three prohibitions that the Melech has. And then he has one Mitzvah Sesei, special Mitzvah Sesei, because of the Sefer Torah Lishma. He has to write a Sefer Torah. So we marfei Kakashi, because of the Sefer Torah Lishma, that's a Mitzvah. Every Jew has an obligation to write the Sefer Torah, because we have a Pasuk that says, so the Pashat Pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Yeshua that they should write Kisvelachem as Ashira. They should write Shira Sazino, and they should recite it. They should deliver the Shira Sazino to the Bnei Yisrael. That Hazino is different from the rest of the Torah, and it points out the Pashat Pshat and the Pasuk Kol HaTorah Kula. The rest of the Torah first. Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and after having delivered the Nevuah, then it's called Nevuah. Nevuah means Bar Nitzvah Sain, where it's pronounced with the lips, like in Eretz Yisrael, the Kragus is controlled by Tnuva. Tnuva means tales that grow. So Nevuah means Nitzvah Sain, the tales that come out from the mouth, what's produced by the mouth. And after Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah, after he passed over the message, the Dinim, Then he wrote it down and it became a Chefetz of Torah. First it was a Chefetz of Nevuah, then it became a Chefetz of Torah. And here, Ashir is Hazino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, here it should be Fakir, it should be the reverse. First, Kisvelachem as Ashir, first you and Yeshua should write it down, it should become a Chefetz of Torah, Shem Yitzhak. And then afterwards, the Lamed is Bnei Yisrael, Sinu B'Fim. Afterwards, you should deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. Ashir is Hazino is going to be different because Hazino is supposed to contain the Nevuah for everything that's going to happen in the future. But the Gemara, that's the Pshut Lashon Mikra. But the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk, that Kisvelachem is not only referring to Moshe and Yeshua, and Shira is not only referring to Hazinu as the Pshut Lashon Mikra. Kisvelachem is referring to all of Klal Yisrael, that everyone has an obligation to write the Sefer Torah. Kisvelachem as Hashira means the Sefer Torah that has the Shira Hazinu in it. The Sefer Torah that contains the Shira Hazinu. So the Gemara says, Takasha, what do you mean? The Melech has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. Every Jewish person has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So Manish Tana, Melech, from everybody else. Melech is a Jew, like every other Jew. What's the difference? The Gemara says, no. The Melech has an obligation to write two Sefer Torah. Every other Jew is sufficient if he writes one Sefer Torah. The Melech has an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah. And that's how we translate the words in the pasuk. Because the Lord's Mishnah, Atayr Hazas, what do you mean, Mishnah? So Mishnah means the second kati of the Sefer Torah. Everyone has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. And what if his father wrote a Sefer Torah and the father passed away and the son gets a Jerusha? So the son still has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So Zimar says, yes. He's not Yotzi with the Sefer Torah that he yarshens from the father. He's obligated to write his own. And what if, let's say, the father was a Melech and the Melech wrote a Sefer Torah, Shal Melech. And then the Melech dies and they appoint the son as the Melech. So he gets the Sefer Torah, Shal Melech, Yerusha. So the Gemara quotes at the Sefer Sanhedrin that he's not Yotzei with the Sefer Torah that he gets Birusha from the father. He has to write another Sefer Torah. So let's say, so two and two should be four, one and one should be two. So you should say over here, if Beryl's father wrote a Sefer Torah, and the father dies and Beryl gets it Birusha, so Beryl is not Yotzei, he has to write his own Sefer Torah. If the Melech Yisrael wrote a Sefer Torah and he dies and he transmits it Birusha to his son who's now appointed as the Melech, so he's not Yotzei, but that Sefer he has to write. So what if the Melech died and the Melech was a Frumah Melech, he was Yotzei the Din, he commissioned the Sofim to write two Sefer Torah. One, like every Jew, has an obligation to have a Sefer Torah, and this additional Sefer Torah of the Melech. So if the Melech dies and he leaves the Sefer Torah, two Sefer Torah Birusha to his son, And that son is appointed as the new melech. So mistamer, the new melech is not yet to anything. He has to commission the sofer to write two additional sefer Torah. One b'taras hedyot, one b'taras melech, because this halacha appears both by a hedyot and by a melech. The hedyot is not yet to biyusha, and the melech is not yet to biyusha. So the Rambam has a peledik Rambam. The Rambam writes that if the father was a melech and he had commissioned the writing of two sefer Torah, one for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah, hanutelos al kol adam Yisrael. Every Jewish man has an obligation to have a sefer Torah written. And one, he commissioned the writing of an additional sefer Torah because he's the melech, and then the melech dies, so the son who's appointed as the melech has an obligation to write an additional one sefer Torah. Why one sefer Torah? He should say that he has to have two written. If the hedyot is not yet to be ushim, the melech is not yet to be ushim, then you should have to write two sefer Torah. Asher Rambam, so the Kes Mishnah asks the Kash on the Rambam, why is it, if Yerusha doesn't help, so why does he only have to write one? So we know how to say over, you just have to reword the din. But we don't understand where the Rambam got it from. Why is it so? Apparently he thinks that what's the nature of the din that you're not Yerusha be Yerusha? How come if the father writes a Sefer Torah that the son is not Yerusha be Yerusha? So the Gemara in Menachos, in the middle of Gemara Maseches Menachos, Gemara has started from Daf Chav Ches or so. The Mishnah has about the things that are ma'akim zezeh, the dalaminim shebelulah ma'akim zezeh, and in a Sefer Torah, what's ma'akim in a mezuzah, what's ma'akim. So the Gemara and that Mishnah, when it speaks about what's ma'akim zezeh, it's in Menachos is talking about carbon mincha. When you bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, that's from flour. You mix the flour with oil. So then it says some of the things in the Karbonis Mincha then are not Me'akim Zezeh. Then it speaks about the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What's Me'akim? If you're missing parts of the menorah, is the menorah kosher now? So starting from that, you go straight. All the 10 block Gemara that talks about the Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah. And then it goes into the next pair, it talks about Tzitzis, all the Dinim of Tzitzis. They're right in the middle of Menorahs. So around Daf Chof Tes or so, Daf Lamed, so the Gemara has the same din discussed, that every Jewish man has the obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, and what if he didn't write the Sefer Torah? He commissioned someone to write it. It's also good. What if he doesn't commission someone to write it? What if he buys a ready-made Sefer Torah? Somebody else has a Sefer Torah, and I go and I buy it. So the Gemara says, that's not so proper. Hakoyna Sefer Torah, min ashuk. If you buy Hakoyna Sefer Torah, if you purchase a Sefer Torah from somebody else, so the Gemara has an expression, kechoytei mitzvah min hashuk. It's like chapping, like grabbing a mitzvah, like in a what do you call it, a fast food, ready-made fast food shop. Did you go and you grab a sandwich in Iraq? They go and grab a sandwich in Iraq. So the Gemara has a lashon, kechayte mitzvah min hashuk, like chapping a mitzvah. So what does that mean, chapping a mitzvah? Is good or it's no good? What does it mean? It's not as nice as writing the Sefer Torah yourself. Mitzvah bo yosim b'shluch, you should write the Sefer Torah yourself. If you don't write it yourself, second best is commission a sefer to write the Sefer Torah for you. And what if you can't do that either? What if it costs much more? You want to buy a used Sefer Torah. And there is a used Sefer Torah that's kosher. What if I purchase the used Sefer Torah? So Rashi writes on that Gemara, kechaytif mitzvah min hashuk. Rashi says, ye yotze the mitzvah, but it's a lower level. You're missing the chashivas on mitzvah bo yosim b'shluch. Best would be if you write it yourself. Second best is if you commission a sefer to write it. And the lowest madrega is if you purchase a sefer Torah. That's how Rashi translates on the Gemara. The Ramah writes in Yeridaya that kechaytet mitzvah min hashuk, if you purchase a sefer Torah, the Ramon hilcha sefer Torah, in the third chelik Yeridaya, writes if you purchase a ready-made sefer Torah that's written already, you purchase a sefer Torah min hashuk, you're not yotze the mitzvah. So the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch asks, where did the Ramah get it from? Rashi's up the fakir. Rashi on the Gemara translates kechaytet mitzvah min hashuk, and you are yotze, but it's like buying fast food. It's not as healthy. Is buying normal healthy foods and sitting down and eating normally. If the Gemara says in Gittin that it's unhealthy if you eat standing, it's unhealthy if you drink standing. So here also, Chaytef Mitzvah Nashuk is not the highest level of Shmiras on Mitzvah. So where did the Ramah get this idea that the Imam is not yet to the Mitzvah? So a lot of the Mefarshim say, the Menchas Chinuch and others want to say, the Achronim want to say, he got it from the Rambam. That the Rambam in the Arach HaZokah doesn't write anything about that. He doesn't say that you yotze the mitzvah if you buy it. So they say the Rambam seems to assume that you're only yotze the mitzvah if you write the Sefer Torah yourself, or if you commission a sefer to write the Sefer Torah. And in fact, the Minchas Chinuch makes a lushitos, it has a pilpul on the Rambam. That the Rambam writes a chiddush din, that this mitzvah, that every Jewish person has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, is only every Jewish man. The women are not mechuyev. Like the women are not mechuyev to shake a lulav, if they don't want to. And the women are not obligated to sit in sukkah if they don't want to. The women are not obligated to listen to tkiya shofar because it's a mitzvah says shazman groma. Women are potter. If they want to volunteer, it's fine. So they'll get the reward as an eni mitzvah of yosem. But the Gemara says eni mitzvah says shazman groma. Women are potter. So the Rama makes a statement that this mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah is only obligatory on the men. The women are not mechuyev to write a sefer Torah. So how did, so the Shagasarya has an essay in a sefer. Where did the Rama get that idea from? How does he know that the women are exempt from writing a Sefer Torah? So the simple answer is Pashut, because the Gemara learns out from a Pasuk that if a woman writes a Sefer Torah, it will be Pasul. If the woman is going to write, because in Chumash Dvarim, Darshan Smuchim. If you have two dinim written next to each other and two different psukim, if you have two dinim written in the same Pasuk, that's called a Hekish. So all of Chumash, we Darshan a Hekish. Two dinim in the same Pasuk, the Mamash Chenim, they're sharing the same Pasuk there, so there must be some relationship, has to rub off. One din has to rub off on the other. So we say there's a Hekish, and there must be a relationship. What if you have two dinim written and two adjacent psukim? They're next door neighbors, they're not in the same pasuk. So that's called smuchim. So do you darshan smuchim or not? So that's a machlokes in the beginning of Yevamos, machlokes hatanoim. And the Gemara says in Chumash Dvarim, for sure you darshan smuchim. We have many, many, many halachas based on Chumash psukim and Chumash Dvarim that we darshan smuchim. So one of the many, many halachas is this din. That it says two psukim one next to the other in Kriyashma. It says, "Ksharim leos al yadecha, uchsaftim al mezuzah beisecha b'sharecha." The only one who can write the mezuzah is the one who's obligated to put on tefillin. And a non-Jew who's not obligated to put on tefillin, or a woman who's also not obligated to put on tefillin, or a child before bar mitzvah not obligated to put on tefillin, even if he'll write a mezuzah, it says uchsaftim al mezuzah. Even if he'll write a mezuzah, it'll be possible. So women are mechuyev to hang a mezuzah up on the door. Women are mechuyev in the mitzvah mezuzah to have a mezuzah hanging on the door. That's a mishnah at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. That's a mitzvah says to shalayas magrama. But the women are not kosher for the ksivus hamezuzah. If the woman writes a mezuzah, it's no good. So the pashtus is that a woman cannot be mechuyev to write a sefer Torah. What do you mean? If you're going to write a sefer Torah, she won't be here to the mitzvah. Won't be kosher. So that's a simple pshat in the Rambam. So the Shagasari says, who says that the woman has to write this? The women are mechuyev in mezuzah. So they get someone else to write the mezuzah. So let the woman get someone else. Let the woman get a man to write the Sefer Torah. Why do you say the woman has to write the mezuzah, and since she can't write it, because it won't be kosher, so she's not mechuyev, let the woman get a man to write it. So the Minhas Chinuch has a whole shtick of Torah on this. So he says, oh, the Rambam l'shitas azakta. Because the Rambam, that's what he claims. The Ramah wrote, if you purchase a Sefer Torah, kechaytef mitzvah min hashuk, means that you're not yotze the mitzvah. Where did he get it from? Rashi says not so. Rashi on the Dapim and Ofer Daf Chavtes said that you are yotze the mitzvah, but it's the lowest of the three madregas. Best would be if you write it yourself. The second best is if you commission a sefer to write it. And the lowest level of fulfilling the mitzvah of having a sefer Torah is to purchase it. So where did the Rambam make so? Where did he come off to make a statement that you're not yotze the mitzvah at all? So the answer is you got it from the Rambam. The Rambam seems to imply that you're not yotze the mitzvah at all. So what do you see? That the nature of the mitzvah is not to acquire a Sefer Torah, but rather than not to have a Sefer Torah, the nature of the mitzvah is to write a Sefer Torah. So if you commission a Sefer to write it, that must be based on the din of shlichus. The shluchus shlohim kemoisai. So the Minhas Chinuch says, no, when it comes to hilchos shlichus, we have a klal in the Gemara that milsa deihu la matzi avid, shaliach loy matzi mashvi. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, the middle of the first parak, that if there's an area where I myself am not kosher to do this activity myself. So then the Gemara says, I cannot appoint someone else as a shliach to do it on my behalf. The only time I can transfer power, I can transfer the bialus, the ability to function as my shliach means, if I have the ability, I have kerech to do it myself, I have a kerech bialus to do it myself, then I can transfer the kerech to somebody else. But if I'm puzzled, if the isha is psula to write the Sefer Torah, so how can she commission a sefer to write the Sefer Torah for her? So that's what the Minhas Chinuch says to answer the kasha of the Shagasari. Shagasari asks, how did the Rambam come off to make such a statement that the women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Ksivah Sefer Torah? He thinks the Rambam is wrong. Shagasari was, you know, used to disagree with Rishon. He thinks the Rambam is wrong, and the women are just as mechuyev as the men. It's a mitzvah says the Shalaya Zman Grama, and you don't see the mitzvah even if you didn't write it yourself. So the woman is mechuyev to commission a man to write a Sefer Torah. So the Minhas Chinuch wants to defend the Rambam. How does he know women are potter? So he says, if you commission a sefer to write, it's good midin shlichus, and you can only appoint a shliach on such a thing that you yourself could have done yourself. Milsa deihu ot matzi yavid, a matter that you yourself could have done yourself. So then shliach matzi mashmi. Milsa deihu loy matzi yavid, a matter where you yourself couldn't do it. You shliach loy matzi mashmi. That's what the Minhas Chinuch claims. The pashtus is that the whole thing is very shver. Number one, Taisus and Erevin at the end of the first parak on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph ask the question. There are two opinions in Taisus. There, famous machlokes, but we didn't learn Gittin. In Gittin is a famous machlokes of Rishonim when a husband wants to divorce his wife. When a man wants to divorce his wife, so it says in the Chumash he writes to get the kasvul or sefer kriis. What if he doesn't write it in person? So he can ask a sefer to write it. So does the husband have to appoint the sefer as a shliach? Does he have to appoint him as a shliach? And shluch shalom kamos is considered as if the husband wrote the get? Or no, we just need what we call tzivui habal. The husband has to authorize the sefer to write. If the sefer writes on his own, a marriage counselor decides that this couple is coming to him for counseling, it's going to end up in a divorce, so he writes the get now. And then when it finally, 5 years later, when they decide to get divorced, he says, I happen to have written the get specially for you, and here it is, it's all ready. So that get was no good. The get can only be written after the husband authorizes. If you write it before the husband authorizes, no good, but not that the husband has to appoint the sefer as a shliach. So that's a famous machlokes in Rishon. So Tosfos asks in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, let's assume that the husband has to appoint as a shliach. The din really requires the husband should write the get. And if not, that the husband has to appoint a shliach. What if the husband is missing both arms? And he physically is unable to write the get. Would you say, Milsa deihu lan matziyav, since the husband is physically unable to write the get, so let's say he can write the get holding the pen in his toes. Let's say he has no arms, no toes. He just has the middle of the body, he's missing all the other, physically, it's physically impossible to write again. So would anybody in his right mind say that that's called the Milsa deihu lan matziyav? Shaliach la matzi mashmi. So Taisus makes fun of it. That's ridiculous. That's not called milsa deihu la matzi rabbi. Shaliach la matzi mashmi. That cloud, whenever you can't do it, you can't appoint a shliach, means if you're not a bailim to do it. If you're not a bailim to do it. But it doesn't mean if there's a technical inability to do it. So that's taina number one that they ask against the Minhas Chinuch. He says that if the woman herself cannot write the sefer Torah, so she has to appoint a, she has to commission a sefer to write. So commissioning the sefer is a din of shliches. The only way to fulfill a mitzvah is by writing yourself or by appointing a shliach. If you buy a sefer Torah, he says you're not yotze. The Rambam Pshita, you're not yotze. So you have to dafka appoint a shliach to write, and it's considered as if you wrote yourself. I feel naniach that that's correct. So then you go a step further and you say, and since the isha is psuva for ksiva sefer Torah, because the potter from the mitzvah tefillin, so the potter for writing sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah, so therefore they cannot appoint a shliach. Highly questionable whether that's a correct application of the klal of milsa deil la matzi ovid shaliach la matzi mash. Secondly, the whole thing that the Minhas Chinuch says, that the source of the Ramah is the Rambam. The Ramah said that if you purchase a sefer Torah, you're not yotze at all. And he says, the Minhas Chinuch says, the mokrib against Rashi. Rashi said, the why yotze? Minhas Chinuch says, the mokrib is the Rambam. And that's a few achayim say, the mokrib is the Rambam because the Rambam never says anything. Not true, the Rambam never says. The Rambam in the Yarech HaZokah is not too clear. You look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he says, beferish. That if you buy a sefer Torah, you're yotze. Beferish, the same as Rashi. If you buy a sefer Torah, you're yotze. Except that it's more mahuder if you write it yourself, and second madrig is if you commission a sefer to write it, and the third madrig exactly word for word the same as Rashi's. So they made such a whole tumult about the Rambam and the Yarech HaZokah. The Rambam the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs explains it a little more. He elaborates a little more. In fact, the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the first volume of the Yarech HaZokah. It's not two separate works. The Yarech HaZokah is an elaboration on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He gives you all the minyan on mitzvah, and then he says, now he's going to give you the whole elaboration on the sefer. So whatever he wrote in the sefer on mitzvah is shteitach shayim. That's written already. He doesn't have to repeat again the same thing. So he wrote in the sefer on mitzvah like that. But if you purchase the sefer Torah, you yotze. So where did the Rambam get this? Where did the Rambam get this idea that the women are not mechuyev and ksiva sefer Torah? It can't be what the Minhas Chinuch says, that you're only yotze the mitzvah if you write it or if you appoint the sefer and it's midin shlichas. Not true. If you buy a ready-made sefer Torah, you're also yotze the mitzvah. So let the woman buy a sefer Torah. That was a Shach Zayis kasha. So on this, there's a famous essay in the Beis HaLevi, in Chelek Aleph, of the Shadows of Tshuva's Beis HaLevi, very few of the Shailos Tshuvos Beis HaLevi were actually real life Shailos. It's like the Shagas Aryeh. None of the Shailos in the Shagas Aryeh were actual Shailos. He's writing an abstract. What's the halacha in such a case? So the Beis HaLevi, most of them are not actual Shailos. They're just retten lerner, shtick lachter. So in the first chelik, Sinavot, he has an essay where he explains what he thinks is the mocker for the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get the idea that the women are not obligated in the mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah? So he says, no, from the pasuk it says. It says in the Torah, Kisvel Hamasashirazaz, Velamdas B'nai Yisrael, that the purpose of having a sefer Torah is in order to sit and learn. So the women are not as mechuyev as the men in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There are two aspects, and he has a whole arichas on this, in the psiche, in the hakdomah to the Shuvas Beis HaLevi, that same volume, Chelek Aleph, and then he repeats it again, as him involved in Chelek Aleph for the Beis HaLevi. So he says, there are two halakim to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There's one mitzvah, the Marat HaMoros, and the Shmarat HaMelassos, and we have to learn the dinim in order to observe the mitzvahs. If you're not going to learn Hilcha Shabbos, you don't stand the chance of being a Shem Shabbos. The dinim are so complicated. If you learn the dinim, it's cooler having you right. Then maybe you stand the chance of observing Shabbos properly. If you don't know the dinim, it's impossible. If you won't learn through the dinim of kashrus, you don't stand the chance of eating kosher. There's so many intricacies. There's so many shaymas about kashering and making treif and everything. So if you don't learn the dinim, you'll never know whether you're keeping kosher or not. Self-understood that you have to learn the dinim. So he says the women are just as obligated as the men to learn all the dinim. They have to learn the laws of kashrus, the laws of taras hamishpacha. The laws of Shabbos is more relevant to the women than it is to the men. They're the ones who are taking care of the Shabbos and the kashrus and the taras hamishpacha. No, so they have to know all the dinim. Then there's another mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn all the dinim of Tumah V'Tara, to learn all the dinim of the Beis Hamikdash, to learn all the dinim of Zroyim, Trumas HaMaisus. So those who live in Eretz Yisrael and they're observing these dinim in real life, so the women also have to learn the dinim. We live in Chutz Lord, so all of this is just abstract. It's not Nagei Halacha L'Maaseh. So to learn Halakim of the Torah, which are not relevant to Halacha L'Maaseh, that only the men are mechuyev, the women are not mechuyev. See, the pasuk sounds like it says, Kisvel Lachem Hashira Hazoz, write down the whole Torah, in order that they should learn the Torah and they should learn up a storm. It doesn't sound they should write the Sefer Torah in order to learn the dinim that are relevant to them. To learn the dinim that are relevant, you use a kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The whole Torah has so many dinim which are not relevant. So it sounds like the purpose of writing the Sefer Torah is in order to fulfill that independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah which exists as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, not the other mitzvah of Talmud Torah which is really only a hechsher mitzvah. Like you have to buy a lulav in order that you should have a lulav. You have to buy tefillin in order that you should have a pair of tefillin to be out to the mitzvah. So learning the laws of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, that's a hechsher mitzvah. That's a preparation to fulfill the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. That's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So the men have an obligation to learn as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. The women only have an inyan to learn as a hachon, as a hechsher mitzvah to enable them to fulfill the actual mitzvahs of Shabbos and Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha. So the Beis HaLevi claims that that's the marker for the Rambam. Because the pasuk itself gives you, and here there wouldn't be a dispute whether Dashina time of the Kroh or Loi Dashina time of the Kroh. Here the pasuk itself gives you the reason next to the mitzvah. It says, Kisvah Sashira V'lamdas V'nei Yisrael. Right, you say for Torah. Nor you should be able to fulfill the mitzvah b'fnei atzma of Talmud Torah. So the women who are not mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvah b'fnei atzma of Liman HaTorah, by the women it's only a hechsher mitzvah. So the men, they don't have the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Beis HaLevi claims that's the mocker for the Rambam. That's the mocker for the Rambam. So here we have that's what the Gemara says, that every kol adam yisrael kol, every man, not the women, or according to the Shagas Aryeh, the women also, everyone is mechuyev in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. And the melech has an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah. So the question is, that's the shaila that the Beis HaLevi raised about. So why are you not Yotzei Birusha if you would have said like the Minchas Chinuch, that the way he claims in the Rambam and the Ramor like that, that the only way to fulfill a mitzvah of Sefer Torah is by writing or by commissioning a Sefer to write, and Shluch Shlavim Kemoisai, it's considered as if you wrote. So if you purchase a Sefer Torah, it's no good. If you Yarshan a Sefer Torah, it's also no good. You didn't commission... Sefer Torah was written before I was born. So how can you say I wrote the Sefer Torah? My father had it written, and then I get a Birusha. So I'm not Yotzei with that. But if you hold that if you purchase a Sefer Torah, you are Yotzei. So why does the Tosefta, the Gemara quotes here on Chov Aleph and Beis, the Gemara quotes a Tosefta, that you're not Yotzei if you Yarshit in a Sefer Torah from your ancestors. Why not? If the halacha doesn't require ksivas ha-sefer and doesn't require shliches, you don't have to appoint the sefer as a shliach. If you buy a sefer Torah, it's good. So what's so bad if you yarshin a sefer Torah? So the answer is pashut. I remember Achrenim today a lot about this. And Haschinuch and Beis Halevi, they work very hard. So Rav Soloveitchik, a member in the Shia, said very pashut. How do you yarshin something? You just sit back and the rich uncle dies in a melech. It comes automatically. So how can that be considered a kima mitzvah? Torah says you have to do a kima mitzvah b'kum v'yasei. You have to do b'kum v'yasei. Sometimes you have a chayvus halvavus. We have a mitzvah of ahavas Hashem. You have to love the Rabban Shlom. Yiras Hashem, you have to have Yiras Shamayim. Also, you have to work on your feelings to develop ahavas Hashem. It's not a mitzvah, it's not a chayvus v'yvorim. It's not a mitzvah that like shaking a lulav or like putting on tefillin. It's not a mitzvah that you do b'kum v'yasei in activity. But it's also b'kum v'yasei b'machshava. But mamish, he's sleeping. The man is in the middle of his sleep, and his rich uncle dies, and Eretz Yisrael got a heart attack, and all of a sudden, Hatabakuman Asefer Torah. And then the kid yarshins from the rich uncle, and the next day the kid becomes bar mitzvah. They say, oh, the kid is already yotzei the mitzvah of having a Sefer Torah because he yarshins from the uncle. He didn't even lift a finger, he didn't lift a machshav, he didn't do anything. Yerusha is mamish meileho, Yerusha is memeleh. So how can you say that you yotzei mitzvah yidei Yerusha? So the Pashto says, that's why Yerusha is no good. It's not because the mitzvah is Laharba Sifrei Torah. That's what Psachrenim have a whole pilpul. What's the nature of the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to be marba more Sifrei Torah in the world? Everybody should bring another Sifrei Torah. No, the mitzvah is in order to have a Jewish library to be able to sit and learn. The Rav Kamina, the Achrenim, the Pischei Tshuva, and Yeridei talks about it. Let's say Bala Bas commissions a sefer to write a Sifrei Torah, and then what does he do with the Sifrei Torah after he has? So he makes a Achnasa Sifrei Torah, gives it to the shul, and goodbye. So some Achrenim hold, he just killed the whole mitzvah. Now he has to commission it, and now he has to start all over again. Once he gave it away, and it's not his, so he doesn't have it, the whole mitzvah is to have a Jewish library in your home, available to you, that whenever you want, you should be able to learn. But once you give it away to the shul, then you're not yet to the mitzvah, unless you just gave it on loan. If you gave it on loan, and you reserve the right to take it back whenever you want to, okay, so that's a branch of your library. If it's down the block, if I give it on loan to a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael, so what do you mean it's on loan? Well, how am I going to get it back? I mean, if the shtibel is down the block and they use my Sefer Torah, so whenever I want, I have the key, I can ask the rabbi, and I'll get the Sefer Torah back, and I'll be able to learn. But if you give it away, so that's a diyun achrenim, have a machlokes. Pischei Tshuva has a machlokes. What's the gedah ha-mitzvah? Is the mitzvah that everyone has to write a Sefer Torah? There should be more Sefer Torah in the world in order to make sure that the masorah, the text of the Sefer Torah, should not be forgotten. Every generation has an obligation to write more and more Sifrei Torah that it shouldn't be forgotten. So then you yotzei the mitzvah, even if you give it away. But if you say no, the nature of the mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah is the way the Beis HaLevi argued. Why are women potter, according to the Rambam? Because the nature of the mitzvah is kisvu v'lamdo. Write a Sefer Torah to have a Jewish library. That's why the Tur quoted from his father, the Rosh, that b'zman hazeh nobody learns from a Sefer Torah anymore. We learn from Mishnayos, Gemaros, printed Svarim Shulchan Aruch. So the nature of the mitzvah today requires you should have a Jewish library. The whole nature of the mitzvah is different because the whole essence of the mitzvah is not to be marbis svarim, but rather to have a Jewish library available to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah of liman haTorah, the mitzvah b'fniatzma of liman haTorah. So again, if one should assume that if you purchase a Sefer Torah, like the Rashi wrote, like the Rambam wrote, the Ramo is a Shverer Ramo. Rama writes in Yeridei, you buy a Sefer Torah, you're not Yotzei. It's against Rashi and against the Rama. Maybe he has some other Rishonim, but Rashi and the Rama both say explicitly that you are Yotzei, the Rama and the Sefer HaMitzvah. So if you say that you're Yotzei, if you purchase a Sefer Torah, so the only thing that you're not Yotzei with is if you yarshin a Sefer Torah. So the reason for that is because you didn't do any Maise. There was no Kumbi Yasei. How can you say you're Yotzei, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah by sitting back and yarshining? Unless I shot him, also not. Unless I shot the rich uncle. My rich uncle had a Sefer Torah and I killed him in Mela Yash, also not. I killed him, but the Yerusha still goes Mela. I didn't push the Sefer Torah out of his hands. The Yerusha still goes Mela. So the Pashto says the reason why you're not Yotzei is because there's no Maisa, there's no Asiya. How can you say Zekim on this? So now the Rambam, this is a Shverer Rambam, however you slice it, a Shverer Rambam. I seem to remember that Rav Soloveitchik just said you have to word it like this. In order to understand the Rambam, you have to word it like this. Still shver. But apparently the Rambam understood the mitzvah that the melech has. If the uncle dies and he leaves me a Sefer Torah, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. I didn't do anything to kum v'yasei. The Melech dies in his Gemen Afrumi, he had two Sifrei Torah and he leaves over both Birusha. The son didn't lift a finger. So he's not Yotzei by Yerusha. You have to have Kumli Yaseh. But if the father was the Melech and he had two Sifrei Torah written, and then the son gets Birusha, he's not Yotzei because he didn't lift a finger. So let him lift a finger. Let him write one Sefer Torah. So if he'll write one, he's busy, he's the Melech, he'll commission a Sefer. If he'll commission a Sefer to write one Sefer Torah, so now he did something that, he did a trick, he did something that enabled him to have two Sefer Torah. He commissioned the Sefer to write one, and thereby he has three. But he doesn't even need three, all he needs are two, so good. He commissioned the Sefer to write one, so Mimele he has three. He could have done another stunt also, but that would be an aver. Let's say the father left two Sefer Torah, two kosher Sefer Torah. So let's say he'll take an eraser and erase one ois from one Sefer Torah, he passed it. Then when he writes it back again, so he lifted a finger, he did something, he not yates it with a puzzle of Sefer Torah. So when he writes back the missing ois that he himself erased, so then he did something, the kumbi yasei. Let's say the father died and he left Birusha, Sefer Torah that's chaser ois achas. So when the son gets a Birusha, he's not yotzei anything. So when he fills in the missing letter, now he's yotzei the mitzvah. He's chaser ois achas, he's yotzei the mitzvah. So if the father wrote two Sefer Torah, so if the melech, father was a melech, the son is a melech, so if the son will erase, you're not allowed to erase. If it's a kosher story, you're not allowed to erase. But let's say he'll be a sheikh, he'll erase one ois, he'll be in violation of the Isser of Lasaz and Kein Lashem Lekeh. If he erases one ice and then he'll rewrite it, that one ice, it'll come out that he did a pu'ula b'kum v'yaseh, which caused him to have in his possession two Sifrei Torah. Yes, so we wouldn't allow such a thing. Maybe he wouldn't be yotzei, probably would be yotzei. Adina mitzvah b'avar, probably would be yotzei. Okay, but it would be a pilpul, whether he certainly did something improper. But here, the Rambam writes like this, the father was the melech and he had the two Sifrei Torah. And then the son commissions a sefer, not to do an aveira, to erase a letter and rewrite it. Commissions a sefer to write him one sefer Torah. So the son did something, b'kum v'yaseh, which enabled him to have possession of three sefer Torah. So good. So that's apparently the Rambam shita, why that's good. But it's still shver. How did the Rambam know that you should reword the din? He should have said, one and one is two. That if a head yod's father dies and he gets sefer Torah, you should not yod's. Melech dies and he gets sefer Torah, you should not yod's. So if the melech dies and he leaves two, so you're not yotzei, the new melech has the right to. How did the Rambam know to reword the nature of the chiv of the melech? That the chiv only is, he has to do a maisa, the kum liyasei, to secure, to see to it that he should have a double set of sefer Torah. How does he know that that's the definition? That's the difficulty. That's what the Rambam writes. That's what the Rambam writes. I don't know. The Gemara says you're not permitted to also lahasha sefer shena muke. The Gemara says you're not allowed to have a sefer that's incorrect, a sefer from the Tanakh. I don't know. The Gemara only goes on kriya b'tzibo. I don't know. According to one? Yes, he suggests maybe it's only an abla. The Gemara says you're not allowed to leave a sefer Torah around the house. That's possible. He says maybe it's only if you're going to lay from it. If you're concerned, you're going to... The Gemara doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara seems to say it's not permissible bichla. The son, good, that would be good for the son, but then it comes out that the father was mevatel the mitzvah 10 minutes before he died. Father's about to die. Oh, the kinyan should take place after death.
In other words, the sale doesn't take place after death.
The Gemara says that that's not legal. I can't make a sale that takes place after my death.
The Gemara is in existence.
No, but after I die, it doesn't belong to me. It already goes Birusha to the children. The second that it no longer belongs to me, so it belongs to the Yerush. I can't. As long as I'm alive, I have an obligation to possess the sacred thing. Okay. Possibility, yeah.
Under some age, that a Yerusha don't do anything mitzvah. I think that only applies when that Yerush is a Ben Yochel, Yerush. But if there are two Yerush and three Yerush, I
mean, the chalukah itself is a kumbiyah thing. Is that a good point? Okay, it's a good point.
According to the Rosh Hashanah, it says that now there's the Yosef of buying Torah. How does that relate to the Mitzvah Hatufa of buying Sefer Torah?
Also, lechatchila you should write your own Mishnayos and Gemaras and Shulchan Aruch, and if that's too difficult, which it most probably is, who has gedult to sit and write, you should xerox it. You should take the Shulchan Aruch and xerox it. And rather than xerox it, why should you have such a sloppy set of Shulchan Aruch? So buy one. So under the circumstances, it's better to buy it than to... Same thing. Here, the Rambam adds on something that doesn't say in the Gemara. The Rambam adds on from the Tosefta in Sanhedrin, that the Sefer Torah Shel Melech has to have a special status, a Magi Moisoi al pi Sefer Azora. Very strange. Who Magi Moisoi? What do you mean Magi Moisoi? When there's a mistake, a Hagoah. Hagoah usually means to correct the Sefer Torah. Let's say you have a Sefer Torah, has a misspelling. So you have to correct that. That's called a Hagoah. So the Rambam writes it, Sefer Torah Shel Melech, Magi Moisoi, you correct it, al pi Sefer Azora. What does that mean?
Check.
You check it. To check it, you mean I have the Sefer Azor in front of me, and I should compare it based on that? Yes, I remember Rav Soloveitchik thought that what it means is like this. The Gemara says in Megillah, Gemara Menachos also, when you write a Sefer Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the original Sefer Torah, he had no Breira. The Rabbeinu Shalom dictated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eimar Moshe Kaiser, Moshe Rabbeinu was writing. But from that time on, when you write a Sefer Torah, you're supposed to have another Sefer Torah in front of you, and read, it says, V'yayimah lohem, rei anochi, roi anochi, p'nei avich, and you write, V'yayimah lohem, you copy what it says here into this Sefer Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that pshat and that Tosefta is, not magim also, you check it, and you correct it, it means when you write the Sefer Torah Shel Melech to begin with, you should have a Sefer Torah in front of you to copy it from. What Sefer Torah should you copy it from? A Sefer Azora. So he thought that the Sefer Azora has a special status al pidin. The Sefer Torah that's in the Azora, that's in the Beis Hamikdash, has a special status al pidin, different from every other Sefer Torah. What's the significance? So he pointed out a sifrei on the pasuk Ma'ono Elokei Kedem in the end of V'zayis HaBracha. No, Ma'ono Elokei Kedem. Huh? So the sifrei says that there was a period in time. Sounds like B'tkufas HaTanoim. That they weren't sure what the gears is, whether the gears and the some of the Sefer Torah said Ma'on, and some of the Sefer Torah said Ma'ona. Whether it says Ma'on Elokei Kedem, or it says Ma'ona, with a hey or without a hey. Is it a final Nun Ma'on, or is it Nun hey? Like in the middle of the word. So the Sifrei has a lashon that on that occasion they checked this Sefer Torah that happened to be in the Azor, there were three, and two out of the three said Ma'ona, and one of them said Ma'on. And they went basarai, they said it's 2-1, and they assumed that the correct reading should be Ma'ona rather than Ma'on, and that's why we have established now that the correct reading is Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, why did they only, well, what did they assume? That Acharam Lahatas, Mistama, the majority will be the more correct. So why did they only limit their research to the three Sefer Torah in the Azor? Why didn't they take a study of all the Sefer Torah in the world? To see what the majority of the Sefer Torah had. So he thought that the Sifrei is telling us the halacha, that the Sefer Torah, Shebu Azora, Moshe Rabbeinu put a Sefer Torah, he gave a Sefer, before he died, he wrote a Sefer Torah, he gave it to Shevet Levi, and he says they should put it, Samta Mosa B'Tzad Aram B'Sashem. What was the purpose of writing that Sefer Torah, putting it there? So the Medrash Rabba says, on that Pasuk, he's concerned maybe sometime in the future someone's going to be Mizayev, someone's going to misrepresent B'Shogeg of Amazin. They're going to misrepresent the text of the Chumash. So here, this should be the official text. This is the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. This should be in the Azora, right next to, or either inside the Aron HaKodesh, where the Aseret HaDibros were, or an Adaf HaBolei. The Samtamos and Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem is on the outside, or is on the inside. A discussion in the first parak of Bava Basra, how do you translate the words? And that should maintain, that Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu put, that should have the special status of preserving the masor of the text of the Sefer Torah. If in later generations they wrote other Sefer Torah, copied Sefer Torah from that, you always have to write a Sefer Torah copying from another existing one. So if you wrote another one and you also kept it in the Azora, that'll also have the status of the Sefer Azora. So he thought that the Sefer Azora has a special status al pidin, and that's why when they had the suffix, what the correct reading is, ma'on, o ma'ono, so they only checked, the Sefer says, they only checked the nimtzu shloshes for ba'azara, They only check the Kriya and the Azar. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that maybe that's what the Rama means over here in quoting this Tosefta, that Magim also, al pi Sefer Azara, that the Sefer Torah Shemelah has to have a special status, has to be written. You have to copy it from a Sefer Azara. True, the Melech walks around with it all the time. He has to carry it. It says in the Chumash, right? From a Melech Taka that was copied from a Sefer Azara. And then when the Melech passed away and it didn't go, it went Birusha to the children, but the children couldn't be Yotze with it, they had to write their own. So maybe they gave it back and they left it in the Azara. Why not? If they were copied from a Sefer Azara, should have the status of a Sefer Azara. So they could have 10, they could have 100, they could have as many as he want. On that occasion there were 3. So those were the 3 that were Koveya. Copied wrong? How does it? How do you ever have a mistake in a Sefer Torah? The Sefer made a mistake? Obviously there was a mistake. So the one that had Mo'on, they had to correct it. They had to change it that it should be. Yeah. They corrected all the Sefer Torah. They should all say Mo'on. Right? Couldn't they tell what? Those were the 2 girsas. One said Ma'on with a final nun, and the other 2 said Ma'ona with a nun from the middle. So someone made a mistake, obviously. The Gemara has a lotion that the Sefer Torah Shel Melech Hoisa Imo V'Kora B'Kol Yimachav, he has to have it with him all the time. So the Gemara has a lotion that he carries it around like a kameh. Kameya is the thing that you hang around your neck. The kameya is very tiny. So how can there be a Sefer Torah that's so tiny? So theoretically, it is possible. If you write on very thin parchment, you write very tiny osias, it is theoretically possible, but it's really hard to imagine. So this is what prompted a group of Gaonim and Rishonim. If you look in the Daz Zikenim and Bali Atosis and the Tosfi HaRosh and Chumash on this pasuk that says the Melech has to write a Sefer Torah and Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. So they say, how can it be Kamin Kameya if it has the whole Chumash? This is what prompted them to say that all it has is the Aseres Adivas. All it has is the Aseres Adivas. So what kind of a Lashon is that? Aseres Adivas is called Kameya is the thing that you hang around your neck. The Kameya is very tiny. So how can there be a Sefer Torah that's so tiny? So theoretically, it is possible. If you write on very thin parchment, you write very tiny osias. It is theoretically possible, but it's really hard to imagine. So this is what prompted a group of Gaonim and Rishonim. If you look in the Daz Zikenim and Bali Atosis and the Tosfi HaRosh and Chumash on this pasuk that says the Melech has to write a Sefer Torah and Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin. So they say, how can it be Kamin Kameya if it has the whole Chumash? This is what prompted them to say that all it has is the Aseres Adivas. All it has is the Aseres Adivas. So what kind of a Lashon is that? Aseres Adivas is called Mishnah Torah Zeis. How is that? So the Rishonim point out that the Aseres Adibris, they use a lashon has 613 osias. Keneged is 613 mitzvahs. I think the Rishonim say really has 620 osias, not 613. That's why they say 613. Keneged the 613 mitzvahs deraisa, and the 7 mitzvahs derabbanan adds up to 620. But that's what a group of Rishonim and Chumash and Goyim and the Tshuvas HaGoyim have like that. In fact, in the yeshivas we never learn these Rishonim and Chumash, and we never learn these Tshuvas HaGoyim. But we have it. The Ran and the Doron quotes it. The Ran and the Doron quotes this. The Gemara talks in last week's Sedra. The Gemara in Shavuah says there's an institution of Shavuah b'Nikitas Chetes that when Avraham Avinu wanted Eliezer to be nishba, that he's going to get the shidduch for his son. Avraham Avinu was afraid he's going to die. He's getting old. His wife just died, and he was 10 years older than his wife. And he commissions his Eved Eliezer, you should go find the shidduch for Yitzchak and make sure, you know, my son is an oil of Tamima. You're not allowed to take him to Chutz Lord, so make sure you should get him a shidduch from my family, from Aram Naharayim. So he's afraid, Avraham Avinu is afraid he's going to die, and Eliezer is going to do whatever he wants. So he made him swear. So he wanted it to be the most chomedik shvuah, the most serious shvuah possible, so that's called the shvuah b'nikitas chefetz. If you put your hand on a Sefer Torah, and you swear, you put your hand on a Bible, that's called the Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevet. So whenever the din requires that somebody has to swear, a Shvuah Sadayanim, let's say Moedei B'Mikzas has to swear, a Shvuah Seidecha, to be Makish, a Shvuah Sashomim, so the Shomer has to put his hand on a Sefer Torah, either pick up a Sefer Torah, or it says in Shulchan Aruch, not necessary, put your hand on a Bible, and you swear, that's called the Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevet. So the Gemara says, it doesn't have to be a Sefer Torah. For most people, you need a Sefer Torah. If the fellow is a Talmud Chacham, the one who has to swear, so it's good enough if he's holding a pair of tefillin, if he puts his hand on a pair of tefillin. In the days of Avraham Avinu, there was no Sefer Torah, there was no tefillin. So the only thing he had was, he had no Tashmishi Gedusha, so he had Tashmishi Mitzvah, so he had the Bris Milah. So he insisted that Eliezer should hold on to his Bris Milah. Sim le'yotchei tachas yirechi. What is he holding on over there? That was the only Mitzvah that he had, over and above the Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenayach. That was the idea of Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz. So the Gemara says that a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz is al pidin, not stam, to frighten people, it's considered al pidin a more serious Shvuah. The Rosh writes there in Shvuah, it's only a Chumrah Midirabbanah, the whole institution of Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz is only a din Midirabbanah, and in order, on Sebar from Apacha, that people should, like today in court, they tell you put your hand on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, that's just to make it more serious. It's not what the secular law considers it, al-pidin, a higher haggadah say. This means that people should see that we mean business. So the Rosh says the whole thing is only a chumrah d'rabbanan, and that they should understand the seriousness of the occasion. But the Pashtus, many Rishonim hold that it's not so. They hold that it's a din d'oraisa. So the Ran, in the Doran, quotes a Tshuva Sagoda, which he disagrees with. He says, if a person takes a neder or a shvuah, and later on he realizes that this is not for him. This is way too difficult. He didn't realize. A guy takes a shvu, he's going to learn Daf Yomi every day. He didn't know what Daf Yomi was. He thought he went to the Siyam, they sing and they dance and party. He thought they're freilich. He didn't realize Daf Yomi. You got to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning and you got to pay attention. You got to chazi. It's a hard stuff. So then he realized not for him. So sometimes we allow you to be Mata Neder. If it turns out the Neder is really, you made a mistake over here, so you can be Mata Neder. So the Ran and the Doran quotes in the name of the Gaonim, what if he took a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz? He was holding on to a Sefer Torah or to Tefillin at the time that he took the Shvuah. So he quotes the Gaonim and says, this is a different Chal Hashem Shvuah, it's much more serious, and it doesn't lend itself to Hataras Nadorim. The Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that what we have in the Torah Shmalpah, that we permit undoing a Neder Hataras to go to a Beznam, at the Neder, that's only on a plain Neder or Shvuah. But a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz doesn't lend itself at all to Hataras. So as an example of a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz, he says a person who holds on to an Aseres HaDibros when he's swearing. An Aseres HaDibros? What is that? A good luck charm? That they have on the necklaces? Where's an Aseres HaDibros? A Chepzah Shal anything? On the Oren Kodesh, they have an Aseres HaDibros, a picture. That's Stama art. That's Stama design. Where do you have Alpidin that the Aseres HaDibros plays a role? So the Pashtus is that these Goinim are the same Goinim who said that the Aseres HaDibros is a Cheftzah, it's a Tashmish Kedusha for the Melech. Those are the guys, like a whole mezuzah. A whole mezuzah, a whole pair of tefillin is a complete Cheftzah Shal Mitzvah. You can yetzeh the Mitzvah with that. So if you have a full Aseres HaDibros, not just two things, two tablets, and it says Abba Beis Gimel Dalet Hei, Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud. No. Not that it says Anochi, Lo, Kabeg, whatever. Not just one word, Loi, Loi, Loi. No. It means it has the whole Aseres HaDibros written on a cloth, on parchment. That's a Cheftzah Shal Mitzvah, that the Melech could have been Yotzeh the Mitzvah with that. That's called the Mishnah Torah Zeis. So those Gaonim are the ones who say that that's all the Melech has to write, is the Aseres HaDibros. That's why they were of the opinion that that constitutes a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz. We don't accept the opinion of the Gaonim that a Shvuah B'Nikitas Chevetz doesn't lend itself to HaTorah. And the Pashtus of the Rishonim is, the Rambam doesn't seem to hold like the whole premise of the Gaonim, that the Melech is yotzei with having an Aseres HaDibros. The Pashtus says that it's not so. The Melech has to have two full Sefer Torah. Magi Mosim is Sefer Azara, has the status of a Sefer Azara. Alpi Pashtus Nishkin Aseres HaDibros. That's Alpi Pashtus. Most of the Rishonim do not seem to agree with the Goyim on this point. Pashtus said that it belongs to the Melech as a private individual. The Melech is mechuyev to have the Sefer Torah written. The melech has to be salaried. The community has to pay him enough money. The melech has to travel around the whole world, represent the Medina Israel. So of course they have to salary him enough that he should pay. But the Sefer Torah belongs to him. It's his chiyuv, and the community, the tzibur has to salary him. He has to commission a sefer to write it, and then after it's written, belongs to him personally. The Pashto says that it does go be Yerusha to the son. I would think so. I don't think he wore it. He carries it with him all the time. I mean, he says he wears it like a kameya. It means he has to carry it. He has to schlep it around all the time. So you have to make it light enough that he should be able to schlep it around. But I don't think it's called the begodim of the melech. I don't think so.
How do we understand why melech needs two sefer Torahs? If you're looking at one sefer Torah, you can't look at the other sefer Torah.
Yeah, the one sefer Torah he leaves the beis gnoza of the Gemara, he leaves in his library at home. And the other one he has to take with him all the time. Why don't you just say the melech has an obligation to have that sefer Torah with him at all times?
Not just.
I don't know. It's a good question. Huh? So he asks the one sefer Torah that we're all obligated to have written for us or by or whatever, so we can leave it at home when we go to the office. The melech always has to take it with him. So why did the Chumash say he has to write a second sefer Torah to carry with him? The Zelda sefer Torah, let him be obligated to carry it with him at all times. I don't know, but that's what it says in the Chumash. I don't know, it's a good question, yeah.
Well, we're trying to learn to talk about what the Chumash is, if it's to write better on that one, on the
Right. Similar. That was a Hayruah Shor, huh? Stomach, that was a Hayruah Shor. The Ksivas, I don't know if that would be considered a Cheftza Shal Mitzvah to do a Shvu Ben Akitas Chayfetz now. Maybe. I don't know. I thought these going in meant that this Aseres Adibus is a Chepsis Shal Mitzvah L'Yoylam. Mamish represent a Chepsis, like Milo, like Tfilin, like Sefer Torah. So I thought they meant the original Aseres Adibus was also Moshe Rabbeinu had to bring down the Aseres Adibus. But that was only the Aseres Adibus. Mamish has said that was Hayru Ashur. So from the fact that once in the history of the world there was a Chepsis of Aseres Adibus, that once in the history, it was sitting in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, still sitting in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not, I don't know if that's called the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah for us. That's a Chad Pami, once in the history of the world. I don't know. What about Tfilin? Could be. I don't know. I feel it every time Shiva, yeah, I don't know. The Rambam Takan, when he writes on this, the Rambam writes, Bahai Singa Karma Koi Machab, he writes, Bayoma Balaila, until he's ready to go to sleep. When he's ready to go to sleep, then he doesn't take it with him. Like the Gemara says, when he goes into the Beis HaMerchas, Beis HaKisa, he doesn't take the Sefer Torah with him. So the Rambam writes the same, when he goes to sleep, he doesn't take it in the bed with him. But all day and all night, I remember when we learned this Sanhedrin, Rav Soloveitchik said, where did the Rambam get that from? He asked us, where, he challenged us, where did the Rambam get it from by Yom HaBalayla? So he said, you don't know the Haggadah Shal Pesach, that it says, how does it say? L'man tizka say it says, Ko yimecha yecha, yimecha yecha, hayamim ko yimecha yecha, halilo. So here it says also, the Korabai, Ko yimecha yecha. So he says, yimecha yecha is hayam, Ko yimecha yecha is halilo. So he said, that's where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam writes, he has to carry the Sefer Torah with him by Yom HaBalayla. He spells it out, by Yom HaBalayla, until he's ready to go to sleep. Ready to go to sleep, that's like Beis HaMerchas. That's not a Mokum HaMishtamer to keep it in the bedroom. So he puts it somewhere else.
So,
I don't know. The Rambam didn't know. We don't darshan that Rambam Sukkim. You have to have a Mokum from the Tanoim. In fact, in Yerideya, the Pesachit Shuvah has a Machloikis, and that's similar to Ksivas Sefer Torah. He quotes a Machloikis Achrayim. For many generations, people didn't write Sefer Torah. Now, they're wealthy people, so they commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. It's very unusual. Most people don't write their own Sefer Torah. Our people, Yotzei the Mitzvah. But some say, well, Yotzei, we all have a library at home. Everybody buys the Tanakh, and Mishnayos, and Gemaras, and Shulchan Aruch. So if you get it, you're not Yotzei. If you buy your own library, so you're Yotzei by purchasing a library. And other Achranim say, no, every Kehillah, people live people live the average 70 years. Usually you belong to a community where the community has a joint effort and they commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. in the span of the 70 years that people live, from the time they become bar mitzvah, before the bar mitzvah, they're not mechuyev to perform any mitzvah. So let's say from the age of 13 to the age of 70, he got there over 55 years. So in the course of 55 years, mistami, he will join up with some community that's writing sefer. Mistami will give a dollar or two towards the writing of sefer Torah. So some achrayim had the head of machloikis, are you yoytzik siva sefer Torah b'shutfis? Does the Allah require that every single Jew should write his own sefer Torah? Or is it good enough? Many Jews together commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So they had a machloikis. So some achrayim said, we're going to prove to you that you can be yoytzik b'shutfis. Because the Gemara in the end of Chulin, in Perek Reishis Hagez, has a long discussion, which mitzvahs apply b'shutfis and which do not apply b'shutfis. So the Gemara says a cloud. Whenever it's written in Chumash Baloshin Rabim, then the Chiyuv exists b'shutfis. Whenever it's written Baloshin Yochid, then you can't fulfill the mitzvah b'shutfis. And the Gemara goes through Reishis Hagez and Bechor Beim HaTorah and other mitzvahs. The Gemara has a whole list, a series of mitzvahs. So the Achrayim say, here it says Kisvul Achem Es Hashir Azah. Since it says in the plural, so based on the klal that the Gemara said, it should come out that this mitzvah can be fulfilled by shutfim together. So this Sri Yesh has a discussion of this. So he quotes Achrayim and say, no, like you said, we don't have the ability to darshan psukim on our own. Aye, but you'll argue, but we're not darshaning, but the Gemara gave us the klal. He says we don't even have the ability to apply properly the klal vasa shteikin Gemara to a new pasuk. There may be some outside factor why that klal doesn't apply. Maybe some reason why that klal doesn't apply. Whatever it says in the Gemara, and Rosh Hashanah it says, whatever it doesn't say, we can't even apply the klal vasa shteikin Gemara. He has another tshuva where he talks about artificial insemination. So he quotes that there were those who said when they first started artificial insemination, let's say if it's from someone else other than the husband. So some of the Gedolim said, 70 years ago when they first started, so they said, it's an Issa deraisa, it's a pasuk, that it says in Achrei Mois, Valeshis, literally, Valeshis ha-mischa l'sitin shchofta chol l'zora l'tomavo. Literally, that's what it says. It doesn't say l'sa gala ervosa. L'sa gala ervosa means an action of a maisa gili arayis. It doesn't say like that. It says Veleishus Hamischa to the body of someone else's wife. Lasitin Shechapa, he shouldn't put in the zera. But Tomavo, so Shteitach the artificial insemination of an Eishes Ish is an Isat Eraisa. So the Sri Yesh has a tshuva about that also. So he says we cannot darshan psukim on our own. So he says, I'll say we're not darshaning. The pasuk is screaming out. That's what it says. It says the pasuk is not screaming out. We don't know. We don't know what the psukim is. He says whatever it says in the Tanoim, that's how they darshan psukim. The Netziv, this is very big, he darshan psukim like a Tana. So many Gedolim were, that's what I was told, many Gedolim were upset about the Netziv's style and all of Tanakh like that. He has a Chibur on Shir HaShirim, the Netziv has a separate Sefer on Shir HaShirim. Every phrase, he gives you an interpretation of what the phrase means based on a Tosefta, based on a Medrash Rabba, based on a Yalkut Shemayna, based on a Yerushalmi. And this means this, and this means this, and a whole new, like a Tana. He darshans the whole Shir HaShirim, a new level of interpretation. And the Chumash also like that. The Netziv has very many, many, many original kemata and every other pasuk has an original interpretation like the Russians. So that's why many others were upset. They said, we don't know how to darshan psukim like that. That's for the Tanoi. There was a different generation. Yeah, yeah. No, many psukim you have, the Gemara says later in Sanhedrin, many psukim you have that achas dibel akim shtaim zu shamat, shtaim zu shamaiti. You have a pasuk that has pshuto shel mikra, then it has an additional level of interpretation. Sometimes it has more than one additional level of interpretation, and they're all true. The Rabbani Shalom, when he dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, intended the pshuto, and intended all of the additional interpretations also. Here's the pasuk on lamed dalet amud aleph. And Lama Dalav and the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tilim, about 15 lines from the bottom. Pasuk from Tilim, Kapitel, Samach Beis, Achaz Dibar Lekim, Shtaim Zu Shamaiti, Kiyoz Lelekim. What does it mean? Mikra Echad Yoytzi Lekama Taimin. You can have one pasuk and it can have many levels of interpretation, and they're all MS. This was all the Kavana of the Rabban Shlom. However, what you cannot have, Ein Tam Echad Yoytzi Mekama Mikroes. The Gemara says, let's say you have a Sanhedrin and they're discussing an issue of Din and Nefashis. And let's say you have, how many dayanim do you have? 23 dayanim, indeed in the fashas. So let's say 20 dayanim say chayiv, and 3 dayanim say pata. So it's overwhelming, 20 to 3, so give them their enish misa. But the 20 who say chayiv, they all say the same Hesber, it's chayv for this reason, and each one says that the mocker for that din is a different pasuk. This bezin, this dayan says it's based on that pasuk, that one says, the Gemara says, you can't count all of the votes, because for sure, most of them are wrong. Because you cannot have more than one pasuk teaching you the same thing. You can have one pasuk. The Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in a very concise form, like a Baruch Be'er wrote his form, in an extremely concise form. He didn't, when the Talmidim wrote over the Shurim, so he didn't like it, he says, Azoi Shreitan HaSefer, no, you gotta write like the Rebbe wrote, like Rab Chaim wrote. Rab Chaim condensed everything. It's very condensed, very concise. Rab Baruch Be'er wrote it very concise. So the Rabbanu Shalom wrote also very concise. He's not going to have two psukim telling you the same thing. He'll dictate a chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu one. He'll dictate a pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu one pasuk that'll have several levels of interpretation, and he meant all of the levels of interpretation. Mikra echad yoytzi l'kama time. You can have a pasuk that has many levels of interpretation. You can have pshuta shal mikra, and then you have several levels of drushes, additional levels of interpretation, and they were all the intention of the author of the Rabbanu Shalom. But you cannot have ein tamech yotzim mekame mikros, that you cannot have. So the Gemara says if you have a few dayanim, all 20 out of the 23 all agree halacha lamaisa, bottom line same thing, and the same reason, but each one gives a different pasuk for that reason. So the Gemara says biyodua that 19 are making a mistake. So it can't be that there are 20 psukim that are intending to say the same thing. So you can have many psukim like that. Many psukim. You have lifnei v'sitim nuchshi. You have it a lot of times. It's not that there's a machlokes among the Rishonim when you have a drasha whether we throw out the pshuta shel mikra. No, that's what the Gemara says. Ein amikra yotzei midei pshuta. The pshuta always remains, and the drashas are in addition to the pshuta. The question is lifnei v'sitim nuchshi. Maybe the pshuta means not to be machshel with an aver. Right, so some may hold that that's not included in the pasuk. The pasuk only means the other thing. That the pshuta means not to be machshel in an aver. That's a question, whether that's so or not. Then the Gemara is discussing over here, what's the translation? Because of us, Mishnah HaTerazos, the Melech has to write, Melech has to commission a sefer, he doesn't have time to write. Melech commissions a sefer to write, Mishnah HaTerazos, the second copy of the sefer Torah. So Mishnah means a second copy. So the Gemara has another interpretation. Another Tana says the word Mishnah is Miloshin Shinui, to change. Why? Because the script that we use today is called Ksav Ashuris, what we use for the Sefer Torah. The black letters is called Ksav Ashuris. So the Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanaim. So some Tanaim claim this was the script that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sefer Torah that they wrote in the Midbar from the very beginning till the end. They were always written with this Ksav Ashuris, with the script that we use today. And if they would have written the days of Moshe Rabbeinu with any other alphabet, it wouldn't be kosher. The other Tanaim say no, that the script changed, that originally used to be Ksav Levi Noah, Ksav Ivri, Ksav Levi Noah. That's the Gemara here in Chafalat on the base. And later, when they came back from Golas Bavel, in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, it was changed to Ksav Ashuris. And why is it called Ksav Ashuris? It was the Ksav Sha'olui Mohem Me'ashur. It came back from Golas Bavel. That was the Ksav. So it's a machlokes HaTanaim whether the Ksav was changed or the Ksav was not changed. So the Tana who claims that the Ksav was changed says that he bases it on the mashmois of the word because of us Mishnah HaTerazos. Instead of translating Mishnah means a second copy of the Sefer Torah, that every Jew has an obligation to write one copy. And the Melech has an obligation to have two Sefer Torah. So he says, no, Mishnah HaTerazos means Ksav Ha'osid Lehishtanis. He should write a Sefer Torah in a script that's going to be changed. Now, if you'll appoint the Melech now until the days of Ezra Nehemiah, till they'll change the Ksav, the whole Vicerian period, it's one Ksav. And the Ksav in another few hundred years, after the beginning of the Tkuvah Baisheni, then the Ksav will be changed. It'll be a Ksav Shaosat Lehishtanas. So the Ritvo, in the beginning of Megillah, discusses this. The Gemara says, a Novi is not allowed to change any dinim in the Torah. The Gemara says, when were the final letters introduced? We have five letters in the Aleph base that have final letters. If the mem is in the middle of the word, there's one mem, and the mem in the end of the word, and mem sofis, and nun, mem, namid, mem, nun, menatzpa. The five letters that have two shapes. So one opinion in the Gemara is that this was introduced, Gemara suggested this was introduced later in the days of the Nevi'im. Sofim Amorim. It was introduced in the days of the Gemara. Says, what are you talking about? You can't, that's like Yoshke came and he said, we're changing all of God's laws. You can't change the religion, you can't change the whole religion. You can't even change the Tzuras Ha'ois. If in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they always use this mem, a later prophet cannot come and even change the Tzura of a mem. So the Rishonim ask Akash, if he can't change the shape of a mem, But the whole alphabet you can change. You can replace the whole alphabet. Ezra Sefer comes, and he replaces the whole alphabet to bake it into Ksavashu. Are you talking? It's like a major change. So the Rishonim say that it's the same as the din of Ori Miklot. The Rambam writes that you shouldn't think, the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Malachim writes all about the Yisra Mashiach, quotes all the Psukim and all the Gemaras and the last pair from Sanhedrin, and he says, and you shouldn't think that when Mashiach is going to come, we're going to change Kol HaTor Kulo. No. The laws of the Torah are never going to change. The Christians thought that Yoshke was Mashiach. But after Mashiach, the Torah changes. So the Rama makes a point of that. We don't believe that Yoshke was Mashiach. And I feel in Tin Salema, even when Mashiach comes, the laws of the Torah are not going to change. The Rama says there's only one din that's going to change when Mashiach comes. That's in the Ori Miklot. That instead of having only six Ori Miklot, you're going to have nine. Because that's what it says in the Chumash. It says, Ki Yachav Hashem Alkechaz Gebulcha, V'yasavta V'chorot Sholah Sholem Ala Shoresh Ha'ela. You should add on another three Ori Miklot. When someone kills B'shoigig, he has to run away to the one of the Ori Miklot. So all along there were only six Ori Miklot. And it says that Lasid Lavoi, when you're going to have Kenik Nizik and Moni, our soul will be bigger. So we'll have to designate another three Ori Miklot. Doesn't mean we're going to have so many more murderers B'shoigig. But officially, you have to have a Mokam Lona Shama Ratzech. You have to have officially. So the whole Keni Knezi Kadmoni, the whole area till the Euphrates, till Nahar Pros, is not going to have any Ori Miklot at all. So just like you have three in a row in Eretz Yisrael, and three in Eva Yardens, you have to have another three over there. So the Rambam writes that's the only din that's going to change Lasi Lava, because it's not a change, it's built into the Chumash. It says it's going to change, so that's not a change. So here also the Rishayim say, this is a change, because it says, and this was allowed, because it's built into the Chumash. It says, because of us, Mishnah HaTorah Zeis, they had a tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu that that's what the word means. Mishnah HaTorah means, Ksav, She'osit Lehishtanes, this script is going to be changed. We're going to change it sometimes in the future. So they were told that a time will come, that a Novi will pop up, and say B'nevuah, that it's time now to change the script to the Sefer Torah. So that Novi was Ezra. Ezra was the Novi who came and he said B'nevuah, that the time has come to fulfill the Pasuk in Chumash, Ksav Shasid Lehishtanes. That's how the Ritva writes on the first daf in Megillah. There, and if you look in the Ein Yankif on the first daf in Megillah, Rav Soloveitchik used to quote this. He was fond of the one sheet that they don't like, that the Achronim don't like. So one of the Rishonim has it like that. The Achronim ask Akasha, Acharif is the Gekasha. The Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos that Mem Nesamach Shabaluchas Benes Hayu Omdim. That the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Aseres Adibros, it was carved through and through. It says, Mizeh, Mizeh, Hem Ksuvim. They were carved, there was a hole through and through. So if you have an Aleph, if you have Onochi Hashem Okecha, Aleph, Nun, Chof, Yud, that's okay. So you have stone all around, and you have carved out a hole that goes through and through. But if you have the Samach, or you have a Mem, a Shlos Mem, so the part that stone in the middle should fall out. What holds up the stone? So if you can do it with a trick, with magnets, okay, so you can have it suspended in midair. So the Gemara says it was a Zanes. The Mem is Samach Shabaluch is Benes Hayomnim. So if you're talking about the Mem and the Samach, so obviously they use the same script that we use today. That the Mem and the Samach are the only two letters in the alphabet that are complete circles, and it has a thing in the middle that's supposed to fall out. The stone should fall out and didn't fall out. But if you're working with Ksav Libayno, yeah, but we have, that's what some Rishonim answer, but we have the Ksav Libayno. We know what it looks like. It doesn't correspond. I think the Mem and the Samach are just a bunch of lines. It's not, they're not circular. So some Rishonim say, even in Ksav Libayno, the Mem and the Samach are the only two letters. But we usually assume that the Ksav Libayno corresponds to what they have in the encyclopedias. They have a Ksav Libayno. So it's just a bunch of lines. So how is it an S? So that's the Achrayim S discussion. So they point out there's a Ritva also in the beginning of Megillah. I think it's on the first page in the Ein Yankif on Megillah. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying, no, the Aseres HaDibros and the Luchois and the Sefer Azoro that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote us from day number one, that was Ksav Ashuris. The Shah Sefer Torah that the Hamoin Am wrote, everyone had a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. And the Melech had an obligation to write two Sefer Torah, so those were written Ksav Livayinu. And in the later generations, when it came the days of Ezra, so he told them now, as he Giyah Hazman, that all the Sefer Torah should be written, the Ksav Ashuris. But even from day number one, the Aseres HaDibros, the Luchos, the original set of Luchos, And the Sefer Torah Shalom, the Sefer Azar Moshe Rabbeinu, that was always Ksav Asher. That's what Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying that over. The Achrayim point out, I think the Radvan has a tshuva. Ayni Yan Yankov on the first page, they point out on the side. Somebody, I think they have the Ritvo, the Hakos of somebody says this, answer. And then on the side they say there's a tshuva in the Radvaz where he talks about this, and he says Yerushalmi yes the kasha. Shalmi says it's a machlokes hatana. That one tana holds that the ksav was never nishtana. This was the same ksav from day number one. And why is it called ksav ashuris? It wasn't olay moime asher. Didn't come back from Golas Bavel. It wasn't changed in the days of Ezra. The ksav was never changed. It's called ksav ashuris. It's ksav usheris. Very beautiful script. Very easy to read. It's easier on the eyes. And the Tana who says that it did change doesn't believe in the Mem Samach Ben Esayuomni. That's how it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's the same Machlekes Satanaim over here is the Machlekes Satanaim over there. Yerushalmi says that these two members cannot live in peace and harmony together. As I state in Yerushalmi, Rav Soloveitchik kept this, I don't know, he was fond of saying over that teretz that they quote, I think, from the Ritvo, that the Luchais with the Sefer Azorah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, that was always Ksav Ashuris. That was always Ksav Ashuris. Because the Gemara talks about Tagim. That's what was bothering the Shem. Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Har Sinai. The Agadah to Medoch is Dav Chavtes. Moshe Rabbeinu is Har Sinai. The Baruch Shalom is dictating the Torah. The Baruch Shalom says, put in Tagim. He says, what do you need the Tagim for? So he says, you don't know. You don't know. A big Talmud Chacham is going to come many generations. Now Rabbi Kiva is going to be his name. He's going to darsh and I'll call Tag V'Tag. I'll call Kotz V'Kotz Tim V'Tim Shalalochis. So what Shach Tagim? Sadly, by no. It doesn't fit in. It's a bunch of scribblings. The Tagim don't fit in. Tagim only makes sense on Ksav Ashuris. So that's what prompted, I think, the Ritvo to give this answer. And the first half of McGill, he says, no. The Aseres HaDibro script with the Sefer Azara, that was always Ksav Ashuris. And Avada, that had the Tagim. The Shah Sefer Torah that the Hamoinam had, that was Ksav Levi Noah. But the Tagim were always there. Sefer Azara had to have Tagim. Had a special status al Pidin. If this is Ksav Ashuris and that's Ksav Levi Noah. Rav Soloveitchik had this in his head from this day and from the Ritvot, beginning with Gilev. It's al Pidin. The Sefer Azara had a separate category, had a separate halachic status. It was written in a different script and it had Tagim all along from Sheshes May Breshes. From day number one it had Tagim, only this form that the Hamoinam wrote. And then in the days of Ezra, everybody had a right to the Sefer Torah with all the Tagim with the Ksav Ashuris. That was what was Nishtan. No. The Gemara seems to say that Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu put in Tagim. He says, what does that represent? He says, you don't know. The Torah will be developed over the generations. More Torah Shabbal Peh. It's going to come a Talmud Chacham, many generations now, who will darshan the Tagim. It's the beginning of the development of the Torah Shabbal Peh. We're not ready for darshaning Tagim. In later generations, it will be developed. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara. And when the Midrashim say the Lashon Kol Masha Talmud Vasi Kosi L'Chadash Nemo Lo L'Moshe Misinai, so some of Farshim add on one word. Not that every din that was told, that every din that a Talmud is Machadish later, literally Kol Masha Talmud Vasi L'Chadash Nemo Lo L'Moshe, everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, the Torah Shabbat Peh was developed, and more were added on based on the Midrash Shatan Reshman. What it means was it was Nemo Lo L'Moshe Misinai B'Koyach. It was all their potential. He was given the text of the Chamish Yuchim Shetar, he was given the Midrash Shatar and the Drashas Pem, and if he'll sit and use the Midrash, so he'll come up with all the Drashas of the Torah Shabbat. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sit and use all the Midrash. And they give the Moshe L'mal Davidayme, all the chemicals, there were all these chemicals in Sheshes Mei Bereshes. They always had all the properties that they had. So if you mix all the different chemicals, you come up with all kinds of compounds and everything. They didn't mix them together until generations later, but everything that we have today, mixing and combining all the chemicals, everything was there, the koyach, from Sheshes Mei Breshes. So let's say the airplane and the fax machines and whatever they have now, you're combining different klolim of physics. All the klolim of physics were there in Sheshes Mei Breshes. If you combine enough klolim, you come up with an airplane. Just that no one combined it until recent years. That's not that Yesh Mei Yain, they came up with a new klal. They combined old klolim, or medicine. All the kololim and biology were there from Sheshes Mei Breshes. No one ever combined them. whenever they keep on discovering new things and they combine, oh, we'll use this klalim, that klalim, they put together 10 klalim, so you come up with a cure for this sickness, it doesn't have any side effects and so on. So they're just combining different klalim in biology and putting them all together, coming up with their medications. So the same is in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chamisha Chumash Torah, he was given all the tagim, he was given the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi's memories, and he was told, if you put everything all together, you'll be able to come up with Givaldik, Givaldik. So that's what it means. It was Nemar Lo Moshe Misinai, B'Koyach. It has the potential of developing all these deeds. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu developed it. So he was sitting listening to the Shia that Rabbi Akiva said. So he said, where did he get all this from? He's falsifying the Torah. I never heard of this. Shiva Nechasim, Shiva Raguf, and Kamala B'Ram. Where did he get all these names? And new. Moshe Rabbeinu would come into the yeshiva, said Din Hechepta, Din Gavra, all the terminology that we have. Where did it come from? So the Gemara has a lashon. It was Tashish Koicha. He had a Chalisha Sadas. He thought the Torah is going to be distorted over the generations. But then the Medrash continues in the Gemara Menachos. Then the one of the Talmidim, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the way, one of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, and what's the din in such a case? He says, the halacha is like this. And then the Talmid asked Rabbi Akiva, how'd you figure that one out? Which tagging did you use to figure that? He says, no, that's halacha Moshe Misina. So then the Gemara says, Niskara Daita, Moshe Rabbeinu calmed down. He says, they're not distorting the Torah. Not that they threw out Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah and they replaced it with something else. Oh, they're developing the Torah. They're still relying on Halacha Moshe Misina, still relying on the Midrash HaTorah and Reshebem. They're just combining so many klolim together, like you combine all the klolim of physics to make an airplane. So if you tell the first people who worked in physics that based on your klolim you can make an airplane, they'll laugh at you. How can it be? What has it got to do with this? The answer is no. If you put together one with the other, with the other, with the other, those are not airplanes. So the same over here. Rabbi Akiva was just combining and developing more and more with the tagging, with the nidus, with the klal prat, with everything. And he came up with a whole new Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu thought was mamish panim chadoshes. And then he heard Rabbi Akiva says, no, this is halacha Moshe Misina. It's all about the Torah. It's just we put together all the klal. When you put together all the chemicals, you come up with new compounds. When you put together all the klalim of physics, you come up with new inventions. That's how the Mefarshim say the Pshat. It shouldn't be taken literally. Literally, every din was given. It's not so. Over the generations, Ruba de Ruba of the Rishonim and Achronim assume like that. Over the generations, Talmid and Chachamim in every generation did develop the Torah Sheval Peh. They were developing based on the Midrash HaTorah and Reshes then that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, because we don't know how to, most of the Nidus we don't know how to use. The Klal HaPrat, these kind of things we don't know how to use. Already in the Tkufas HaTanoim, the Ramchal has a short essay, Maimar al HaGodes, I think. What are the Mamorim he has? He has a short Mamorim, five pages long. And the Sefer Mamorim. So one of the Mamorim quotes a Medrash and Shir HaShirim Rabbah, that already Bizman HaTanoim, they had lost a lot of the Midrash HaTan Rosh Hashem in HaGodes. When it came to Bizman HaMoroim, they had already lost, they didn't know how to apply the Midrash HaTan Rosh Hashem in HaLocha, Klal HaPrat, they didn't know how to work these things out. You look at a lot of times, Tosfos asks, usually in Kochin, mainly in Kochin Mesichtas, Tosfos says, where did they get this thing from, where did they get that from? So Tosfos says, drosha, hina na drosha. Here Tosfos says, so the Achronim always say, it's not so. You look in the Torah Kanan and it says a different marker, and Gansen a different marker. They're always master on Tosfos. Tosfos couldn't guess. The Tanoim had in Gansen a different style. Tosfos couldn't reconstruct this. In the days of the Netzivus, the Gorosh Peter. How can he reconstruct the style of Darshani Pesukim? If we would know the art, we would be able to continue today, but we have lost the art. The only midas we know how to use today, Kal V'chaymer, Mamatzinu, to analyze, to Medama Milsa L'Milsa. So those are the only midas that we use today. They say the name of Rab Chaim, that he once made a comment. They asked him, they're a midas HaTorah Nedreshes Behem. So where's the B'shloshes midas HaTorah Nedreshes Behem? So which one is your midah, the brisker style of analyzing the Gemara? So he said, that's Pshat. And Pshat is the 14th midah. There's another meter. The 14th meter is Pshat, and that's Pshat. That's included in Mamatzinu. Mamatzinu, you analyze the din, and you compare. The Gemara says, Kol HaTarakudo, Dimuye Milsa L'Milsa. You have to be Medama Milsa L'Milsa. So some people are Medama Milsa L'Milsa by comparison, and others are Medama Milsa L'Milsa by analysis. Not that by analogy, but by analysis. It's also Medama Milsa L'Milsa. That's the meter of Kal V'chaymer, Mamatzinu. That's that meter. That's the only meter that we're left with now. The other meters, we don't know how they work. We don't even understand the chlal. When you come across the Gemara, we don't understand b'chlal what the Gemara is talking about with these meters. Dov shoy b'chlal, yatzman ha'klal. So hard to understand. Here the Gemara Chabbeis Amin Aleph has a little bit of discussion about Avishag HaShunamis. The Pasuk says he was married already. The Gemara interprets the Pasuk. He was married to, Adon HaMelech had 18 wives. It's after of last week. HaMelech David Zokein Bo Bayomim by Chasu Bab Godim. He had already 18 wives. He wasn't permitted to take an additional wife. So they had, but he was sick. He was going to get sick from, by Chasu Bab Godim Le'echem Lo. They gave him woolen blankets and he was still chilly. So they said he has to get himself a woman to keep him warm. But he's not allowed to violate, he's not allowed to violate taking a 19th wife. But it was a suffix pikuach nefesh. He can get sick and he can die. So they were matir, the Yisra, he had already been gozer, the Yisra Yichud. We just learned over here. Dovin HaMelech was the one who was gozer, Yichud Penuya. So they said, no, we have a klal, when a person is a mesukon, and you have to do, you have to violate the Navera for the purpose of the Kuala Nemesh. The Gemara has in the last Perek in Yume, Machila Mosa Hakal Hakal Tchila. Let's say he has to, Anyam Kippur, or let's say in the middle of the week, he has to eat some food in order to keep alive, and we have a possibility of eating only trefa food. We have no kosher food. Either he's going to eat chazer, or he's going to eat chelev. So chazer is only alive, and chelev is kores. So you give him the chazer, don't give him the chelev. Chelev is not worse. That's called machila mosa. We feed him hakal hakal tchila bas vin seger aver. Or let's say you can save the person's life on Yom Kippur. The person has to eat, otherwise going to die. All the people, they have to eat, but they don't have to eat a shir shalom. They don't have to eat a whole kaseves hagasu b'masachas. If they eat a chatzis shir now and wait 10 minutes and eat a chatzis shir later, so if you only eat a chatzis shir, then there's no chorus. That's pachas mikashir. So eat less than the shir, rather than by the end of the day they will have eaten many kishiurim. But if you eat the less than a shir now and you pause, and then you eat 10 minutes later another chatzis shir, so that's a lesser aver than eating a shir shalom a basacha. So that's called machil moso hakal hakal tchila. So the Gemara says here that when Dovin HaMelech was sick, they had a brayer. Either they should, it was a suffix pikuach nefesh, they were really concerned. He can catch a cold and die. So they had to be matas, something had to go over here. So either they'd be matah him to violate the Yisud the Rabbanon of Yichud Penuyah, which he himself was Gerzerat, Yichud Penuyah, or they'd have to be matah him to divorce one of the wives. What was the issue with divorcing one of the wives? What's the Avera? The Stam and none of them agreed to get divorced. The Pashtas, no, each wife wanted to be a queen. He had 19 wives, he was one king and he had 19 queens. So each one wants to be a queen, they don't want to be demoted. So no one agreed. So what's the Avera if you give a get Bal Korcha? Such a big Avera. So the Gemara considers it an Avera. The Gemara considers the Avera of giving a get Bal Korcha more serious than the Avera of Yichud. So the Gemara says, Hitiru lo liyachid, v'lo hitiru lo ligarish. They didn't permit him to divorce any of the wives because no one agreed to get divorced. It would have been nice if one of the 18 wives would volunteer, give me a get, I'll get divorced, give me alimony, set me up for life, and marry yourself a younger woman, and she'll keep you warm. So no one apparently agreed. No one agreed to accept the get. So he's not allowed to give a get bal korcha. So what did the Rabbeinu Gershom introduce? The Rabbeinu Gershom is the one who introduced the Yisra to divorce a woman bal korcha. So the Pashtus is that we have in Shulchan Aruch various haramim. Rabbeinu Gershom introduced Achem, you're not allowed to read someone else's mail. You mean until the days of Rabbeinu Gershom was permissible to violate someone else's privacy? You're allowed to read someone else's mail. It's not ridiculous. The Gemara learns that as a pasuk in Chumash, that din deraisa. Adab Hashem and Moshe Lamar, if not for the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom said Lamar to Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu would not be permitted to say over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael. Whenever someone tells you something, he has the right to privacy, and even they told it to you, you should keep it a secret unless he gives you explicit authorization to transmit it, unless it's obvious that he's permitting you to transmit it to someone else. So it's clear that you have to keep people's privacy. So how can you have a minute to read someone else's mail? About it's an Issa deraisa. Rabbeinu Gershom added on a cherem. Cherem means the one who violates it should drop dead. The Gemara says the word cherem is ramach evarim. Ches reish mem. The Gemara says that. It's not a bala term. The Gemara in Moed Kutim says, Nelem Gal. Cherem is ramach evarim. It's a curse that the person should drop dead because of the cherem. And if and when he dies, even if he dies at the age of 120, we put him at the age of 20, and he lives another 100 years and he dies at the age, we attribute his death to the curse of the Bezni, even though it's highly unlikely he lived another 100 years. And the din is in Shulchan Aruch that you don't observe Avelos, like Haruge Bezni. The Mishnah says later, Harugi Bezin, you don't observe Avelis. So here also, it says, the Yorshim, the children don't observe Avelis because we assume that he died because of the curse of the Bezin. So the Rabbeinu Gershom didn't introduce the prohibition against reading someone else's mail. That was certainly an Aver deraisa. He put teeth into the din. He said, whoever violates it should be in Chayim. Well, the Moshe on the end of Ebenezer, the Ramos says, there's a Chayim hakadmayim, shalola hakosas ishtoi, not to beat up your wife. I mean, until the Kadmonim came, until the days of the Rishonim, it was a mutter. It was mutter to beat up your wife. Then they came up with this newfangled modern idea, this reform idea, not allowed to beat up your wife. No, the pastor, of course, is an Issa deraisa to hit anybody. Of course it's an Issa, but it's not a chen. The guy should drop dead. People talk Lashon Hara, people do all kinds of averes. You don't give everybody a curse. Anyone who's violating it, give him a curse, he should drop dead. But they felt that there was a shas atzara, so they made a cherem akadmonim. Whoever beats up his wife, they give him a curse that he should die. So that's the pashtus over here also. The racherem with the Rabbeinu Gershom, not to give a get bal korchoi, the pashtus says that it's avada nisa derais. The fellow proposed to the girl, and he says, is he going to love, honor, cherish her? I'm going to treat you like a queen. I'm going to treat you like all the Jewish husbands treat their wives like a queen. Then he goes and he divorces her bal korchoi. So isn't he in violation of all the promises that he did, that he made under the canopy? So of course he's in violation of the promises. Of course he's not allowed to violate it. The pasuk refers it, refers to it as the bris, as a covenant that the husband, more on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over Tom and Beis. It's a bris, it's a covenant that a husband enters with his wife. A bris with Eishes Nehuros. Of course he's in violation of an Aveira Deraisa. He's double-crossing the wife, Osvashan. But it's not a cherem that he should drop dead. So the Rabbeinu Gershom just added on, one who violates this Aveira Deraisa, he divorces his wife, Bal Korcho, should be a cherem. We curse him that he should die. So that's what the Gemara says. David HaMelech was sick, and they were afraid he's going to die. And the warm blankets, the woolen blankets didn't help. Because he had sinned by being the baz of the God. So it didn't help. So they said, he needs a woman to keep his body warm. So he tirula, and under the circumstances, the two alternatives would be either to violate the Issa deraisa of marrying more than 18 women, or to violate the Issa. The Gemara says, you try to minimize the Chilul Shabbos. Try to lower it to the level of the Rabbanim. There are different ways to lower it to the level of the Rabbanim. You can have Amir and Nachri. Or you can do it yourself and do it with the left hand, Aride Shinui. Or you can have Shnaim Shosu. You can have Malach Hashem Tzvich HaLegufo. So he says, you got to figure out which of these is Mohammed and which in order to know what's called Machila Masa Akala Kal Tchilo. The doctors and the nurses in the Fruma hospitals, or the Fruma doctors and nurses, should have a few tshuvas about this, but the whole issue has not been worked out. It's still Paretz Mulu Balaim. There's more that has not been worked out than has been worked out. All the different cases, all the different siurim, which he said the Rabbanan is preferable to violate, as opposed to which others are considered the Mohammedic. That's this Gemara is one example of it. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah, we assume that the girl went to Likvid. She wasn't a Nida. He wasn't Bola to you. The Pasuk says that they insisted, they wanted a Psula, that it shouldn't be Bola. You shouldn't be Bola. No. Lo Yidol. Right. Lo Yidol. Okay, Belineta, next week I'll try to finish the Perek.